Welcome to God and Country Radio. Parent discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in life scripture. Program about the biblical doctrines of civil government. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Last week, the Senate passed the Respect for Marriage Act, codifying homosexual marriage into legislative law. The title of the bill, the Respect for Marriage Act, is a self-serving lie. The bill is all about a disrespect for God's institution of marriage. It's very much like the recent Inflation Reduction Act, which authorized the spending of $700 billion, most of which to allegedly stop climate change. Just like the Inflation Reduction Act has nothing to do with stopping inflation, the Respect for Marriage Act has nothing to do with respect for marriage. It's actually overthrowing God's institution of marriage. But unprincipled, godless legislators are getting more bold in their lies in calling evil good and good evil. So it wasn't enough that the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage in Obergefell versus Hodges in 2015. The political left wants it codified into legislative law. The bill was sponsored by the far-left Congressman Jerry Nadler from Manhattan, bill number 8404, that passed the House in July. And the bill was sponsored by the far-left Senator Dianne Feinstein in the Senate, bill S-4556, that just passed the Senate on November 30th. And the bill passed in the Senate 61-39. 12 left-leaning Republicans went over to the Democrat side and supported the bill. Now the two bills need to be worked together, and off to president it goes to be signed. But if same-sex marriage has already been legalized by the Supreme Court, what's the purpose of this bill? Well, the LGBT community was claiming that the current Supreme Court could overturn the Obergefell decision, which legalized same-sex marriage nationwide, just like the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion nationwide. And hence, if Obergefell is overturned, the same-sex marriage issue would go back to the states. As it is right now, 35 states still ban same-sex marriage in their constitutions. However, the legislative branch, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, codifying same-sex marriage doesn't prevent the Supreme Court from someday declaring both Obergefell unconstitutional and the Respect for Marriage Act unconstitutional. Because according to the Constitution, these moral questions belong to the states, not to federal legislators or the courts. The 10th Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Unquote. And we know that the Constitution of the United States says nothing about the federal government having authority to force the states to adopt same-sex marriage. And the same holds true for abortion. The federal government doesn't have the authority to force the states to legalize abortion. Hence, abortion was overturned by the Supreme Court in the Dobbs decision in June of this year. So the real reason for the Respect for Marriage Act is twofold. First, it is virtue signaling to the LGBT community that their politicians are supporting them. This bill is another effort to normalize LGBTQ behavior. But second, and this is probably the real reason for this bill, by codifying same-sex marriage into federal law, it makes it easier for LGBTQ supporters to persecute those who do not support or celebrate their lifestyle. If LGBTQ is the law of the land and a nonprofit organization does not support LGBTQ, federal agencies like the IRS can much easier declare that organization to be non-charitable and hence take away their tax-exempt status. such as what happened in the Bob Jones University case. Back in the 1970s, Bob Jones University did not support interracial marriage, apparently for religious reasons. And the IRS took away their tax-exempt status, claiming that they were no longer a charitable organization. And the Supreme Court sided with the IRS. The precedent set in that case was that a compelling public interest can override religious freedom. If the overall moral opinion of the nation contradicts a religious belief of some group, then public opinion wins. Because we know now that law is no longer considered a function of the law of nature, nature's God, but it's now the function of the majority opinion of the people. That's the law positivism philosophy of Oliver Wendell Holmes. And in the Bob Jones University ruling, the Supreme Court said that since Congress did not intervene in stopping the IRS, which Congress could have done, then Congress was tacitly supporting the IRS decision to take away the university's tax-exempt status. So these federal agencies can make up their own law and their own application of the law if Congress is not objecting. So this respect for marriage bill codifies LGBTQ behavior into federal law. So now government agencies like the IRS and the Department of Education have greater legal power to enforce LGBTQ acceptance under penalty of law. This bill is all about LGBTQ supporters using the power of government to change the morality of the culture, to further normalize LGBTQ behavior, and to further marginalize Christian values, even to persecute. The bill states clearly that the Attorney General may bring a civil action in the appropriate United States District Court against any person who violates this bill. Well, that's a blank check for a leftist attorney general, like what we have now. And this bill goes on to state that any person who is harmed by a violation of the Respect for Marriage Act may bring a civil action against the person who violates the bill. So think of the recent lawsuits against the Christian photographer, the Christian baker, the Christian florist, who would not offer their services for same-sex weddings. This bill gives the LGBT community legal power to continue to go after these Christians. And it also gives the power to go after Christian colleges that do not allow same-sex couples on their faculty or in their student body. The first institutions to be persecuted will be the Christian colleges and some of these other parachurch ministries, because they're easier targets. Not only will their tax-exempt status be taken away, but by this law, the whole institution will be considered illegal. But later, once LGBTQ is further normalized, the left will go after churches. The goal here is not only to outlaw Christian morality, but to punish those who teach it. This is a violation of the First Amendment, freedom of religion, and freedom of speech, but these people don't care about that. This is actually a multi-step process that takes about 40 years. First, no law can have any religious basis. Laws based upon God or religion are considered unfair and unconstitutional, so God is removed from the legal system. The next step is removing the morals and practices of Christianity from public institutions. Then comes the removal of the morals and the practices of Christianity from private institutions. I mean, if it's wrong for public institutions, why shouldn't it be wrong for private institutions? As they say, hate is hate. Well, the final step is direct persecution of Christians and their beliefs. And this is the way it always happens historically. And let me repeat what I've said often in the past. The persecution of God's people is never over doctrine. We will not be persecuted because we believe in heaven, or the deity of Christ, or in the resurrection, not yet anyway, it will always be persecution over biblical moral standards of righteousness. Because what bothers the unsaved the most is opposition to their lusts, their murders, their drugs, their alcohol, their greed. Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. And they did not repent of their murders or of their sorceries or of their immoralities or their thefts. These people hate those who point out or represent the guilt of their sin. And so the Christians are always persecuted, not because of their religious doctrine, but under the pretext that they're denying people rights, that they're haters of the human race, that they are troubling the people, they're holding back progress, or they're a threat to people's safety and mental health. And when Christians hear these reasons for the persecutions, many are often deceived into thinking we must be doing something wrong because we're not being persecuted for our doctrinal beliefs. I'm not going to jail or losing my job because I believe Jesus is Lord, but because I'm anti-abortion or I'm anti-LGBTQ. So is that the sword I really want to fall on? Well, the answer is yes, because persecution for biblical morality is always persecution against Christ. You can call Jesus as Lord all you want as long as he's not really the Lord. So the bottom line and the surprise is this, that the persecution of the church is coming about by LGBTQ behavior. The Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, about the corruption that is in the world through lust, which I have always found to be a very interesting statement. The Greek word here is epithumos, which means a strong passion or desire. And in the context, it's referring to evil, unlawful desires. You see, the problem with sinful humanity, right from the fall of man in the garden, is wrong and corrupt desires. Rather than desiring righteousness in God, their desire is for human autonomy, for the flesh, for degrading and twisted passions. Romans chapter 1. They're earthly, they're sensual. And this is the battle of the ages. And standing for God's morality is what it means to stand for God. So here's the proof that this bill has been created by the radical left to set up the persecution of the church. Three conservative senators put forth amendments to this bill, specifying that this bill will not be used to prosecute those who do not agree with same-sex marriage. Senator Mike Lee from Utah, Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma, and Senator Marco Rubio from Florida. Lee's amendment read, "In general, nothing in this act or any amendment made by this act shall be construed to diminish or abrogate a religious liberty or conscience protection otherwise available to an individual or an organization under the Constitution of the United States or federal law. Goods or services consistent with the First Amendment to the Constitution, non-profit religious organizations, including churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, non-denominational ministries, interdenominational and ecumenical organizations, mission organizations, faith-based social agencies, religious educational institutions, and non-profit entities whose principal purpose is the study, practice, or advancement of religion, or any employee of such an organization shall not be required to provide services, accommodations, advantages, facilities, goods, or privileges for the solemnization or the celebration of same-sex marriage. Any refusal under this subsection to provide such services, accommodations, advantages, facilities, goods, or privileges shall not create any civil claim or cause of action. Nothing in this act or any amendment made by this act shall be construed to deny or alter or benefit status or right of any otherwise eligible entity or person, including tax-exempt status, treatment, education, funding, grants, contracts, agreements, guaranteed loans, scholarships, licenses, certifications, accreditations, claims, or defenses." So, do you see what this amendment was trying to do? allow for LGBTQ freedom in the bill, but also allow for anti-LGBTQ freedom. But this amendment did not pass. So it wasn't added to the bill, and yet the bill still passed 61-39. Because that amendment would have torpedoed the real intent of the bill, which is to force everyone to accept LGBTQ and to prosecute those who do not go along with the immorality. The sodomites have truly taken over the governments of men. Now, in the House version of this bill, H-8404, there is a similar civic religious freedom amendment that Republicans were able to add, but it doesn't go very far. It only applies to religious institutions, not private business. For the bill to go to the president's desk and be signed into law, the House version of the bill and the Senate version of the bill have to be identical. This means another vote from the House to approve the Senate version of the bill. The House would have to take a vote on the Senate version that doesn't contain the religious protections. Will that happen before the new Republican-led Congress is seated in January? Let's hope not. Well, by way of conclusion or summary, I'd like to list some of the spiritual biblical lessons God would have us to learn from the passing of this bill. First, obviously, we see the moral change in our country. A recent survey said that back in the 1990s, only 30% of the public agreed with same-sex marriage. Now, the public is at 70%. This bill actually states that it's repealing the Defense of Marriage Act passed in 1996 that gave states the right not to recognize the same-sex marriage laws in other states, and that for the purpose of federal law, marriage is defined as one man and one woman. This bill is actually saying that the values of the past, even the values from just 25 years ago, were wrong. And that is a huge religious ideological shift that foreshadows the Antichrist age, an age where law is based upon human lust, not natural law, the law of nature, and nature's God. So what we're seeing is a conscious, direct repudiation of God's law in this world, the removal of ancient boundaries, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, the overturning of the law of God that Western nations have held to for the past 1700 years. Homosexual marriage was practiced in ancient Rome, but in 342 AD, the Christian emperor, Constantinus II, outlawed homosexual marriage. The world began to embrace Christian truth. But now, in the 20th century, there is this reversal, a return to paganism. The times of the Gentiles are coming to an end. In Daniel chapter 7, the final world empire of the beast will be a confederation of 10 nations led by a ruler who will wage war with the saints and overpower them, verse 21. And in Daniel 7:25, he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, the Christians, the believers. And he will intend to make alterations in times and in laws, and they will be given into his hand for time, times, and half a time. What times and laws will be changed? Well, given the context, the laws that agree with God's moral law and the laws that protect Christian people. This ruler is called the man of lawlessness. You know, not that he won't have laws. He certainly will have totalitarian laws, but his laws will be godless. And any law that is not according to God's law is no law at all. And man's law cannot make moral what God declares to be immoral. Now, the left is claiming this new law is a historic moment, a landmark occasion. And that's true. This bill crosses one more goalpost on the way to Sodom, on the way to the prophesied great rebellion at the end of this age, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, for the day of the Lord will come when there is a great rebellion and the man of lawlessness is revealed. A second point we need to learn in all this is how unbelievers, truly believe they're doing what is morally good. This bill begins with three paragraphs about how marriage is such a wholesome institution. Quote, "There is no union more profound than marriage. It embodies the highest ideals of love, fidelity, devotion, sacrifice, and family. And Congress affirms that beliefs about marriage should be given proper respect. Therefore, since same-sex couples have entered into marriages and have enjoyed the rights and privileges associated with marriage, couples joining in marriage deserve to have the dignity, stability, and ongoing protection that marriage affords to families and children." All sounds good. Even in the title of this bill, they make it sound like the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, in calling it the Respect for Marriage Act. The Biden White House put out a statement, "With today's bipartisan Senate passage for the Respect of Marriage Act, the United States is on the brink of reaffirming a fundamental truth. Love is love. And Americans should have the right to marry the person they love. For millions of Americans, this legislation will safeguard the rights and the protections to which LGBTQI+ and their children are entitled. It will also ensure for generations to follow, LGBTQI+ youth will grow up knowing that they too can lead a full, happy life and build families of their own." Again, it all sounds wonderful, but they're calling wholesome what God calls an abomination. Leviticus 18:22. "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It's an abomination." The world's acceptance of homosexual marriage causes most people to believe that's probably not so bad, since it's so accepted. But the acceptance of homosexual marriage is really a sign of how much a society can fall into darkness. Isaiah 5:20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light, and light for darkness, and do they ever?" Any culture that departs from God will sincerely and genuinely call evil good, as in Nazi Germany in the 1930s, as in the Bolshevik Revolution in the 1920s, as in Mao's Cultural Revolution in the 1950s. So please don't be deceived or influenced by the moral ignorance of this world. You know, our main concern here should be the godly standards and the discernment of the Christian community, because too many Christians become weakened in their beliefs by the ungodliness of the culture. We become like the Old Testament character Lot, living in the city of Sodom, going along to get along, and losing our conviction over sin. So please recognize the moral blindness that is and will come upon the unsaved. Ephesians 4:17, "They are darkened in their understanding. They are under a satanic delusion. Someday the whole world will follow the Antichrist." Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. "And if you're the only one who sees the error, are you going to begin to doubt your faith in God and His Word?" I hope not. We just need to recognize how strong this delusion of sin is going to be, and not be swayed. Our love for God needs to come before our love for man. God is just putting the church through all of this to test our faith, and really to teach us what the kingdom of Satan looks like. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. I have more to say about this Respect for Marriage bill in my extended video version of this program at YouTube and Rumble. The channel is called God and Country Biblical Exposition. The links for all these programs are at godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your faith. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, as we see the proliferation of wickedness in this present age, the Antichrist spirit, help your people to grow in faith and in full commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.